Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we are indeed very, very, very fortunate to have been blessed by Srila Prabhupada with the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we take it very, very seriously, if we submissively hear this message with faith and attention, then we will have the highest, deepest realization of the Absolute Truth of the grace of Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, etc. So let us hear, discuss, and worship this sacred message at this time with great, intense attention. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 15th chapter, the Pandavas retire timely, text number 40. Visrija tatra tat sarvam dukula valaya adikam nirmama nirahankara sanchana ashesha bhandana Visrija tatra tat sarvam dukula valayadikam nirmama nirahankara chanchana shesha bhandana Visrija tatra tat sarvam dukula valakara Dukula valayadikam Nirmama nirahankara Chanchana shesha bhandana Visrija tatra tat sarvam Dukula valayadikam Nirmama nirahankara Chanchana shesha bhandana Visrija relinquishing Totra all those Tat that Sarvam everything Dukula belt Valaya Adikam and bangles Nirmama uninterested Nirahankara unattached Sanchana perfectly cut off Ashesha Bhandana unlimited attachment Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt, and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Purport. To become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments. The kashaya, or saffron loincloth of a sannyasi, indicates freedom from all attractive material garments And thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family, and thus became free from all material contamination or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations. Designations of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness. But they do not know that such false consciousness is another designation of the materially conditioned soul. One has to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish men adore such men who die in national consciousness. But here's an example of Maharaj Yudhisthira, a royal king who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king, almost on the same level as the personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects. And it was quite possible for such great emperors to rule the world. Om Jnanati Madam Dasha Nananjana Shalaka Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. What a wonderful example is Maharaj Yudhisthira. Completely disinterested and unattached to everything. This is ideal Krishna consciousness. Our present situation is we are very much interested in so many designations, so many facilities. We're very much attached to so many things. You see, these are material contaminations. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is a great acharya. We can learn from him how to detach ourselves from these things. What's our first attachment? The body. We're very, very attached to our bodies. Therefore, we do so much indriya seva, serving the body. Of course, some service is necessary. Keep body and soul together, as Prabhupada said. Some service is necessary. But if we take beyond what is necessary, then that is material contamination. We serve the body unnecessarily. So it's material contamination. So actually we should be detached. We should become attached to being detached, actually. And that's a good attachment. Just like everyone likes prasadam, that's a wonderful thing. That's attracted us to Krishna consciousness, that keeps us here. But if we can also learn to relish the taste of austerity, if we add that prep to our repertoire of favorite preparations, the preparation of austerity. So if we learn how to taste the sweet flavor of austerity, then we'll become much stronger. If we can add that item to our menu, our daily menu, austerity, then we can go on feasting 24 hours a day. You see? Austerity is the wealth of the Brahman. It's explained in the Vedic wisdom. So it's not that you have to be give up nice prasadam. No, we're not saying. But if you just add that preparation along to all your other favorite preparations, if you add austerity to also, and relish the taste of austerity, that will make you much stronger. Because at the end of life, generally you have no appetite at all, finished. You see? So along with enjoying nice prasadam, we should also learn how to enjoy austerity, even now when we're strong and healthy. That will help us later on very much, the time of death. How to relish the austerity. Austerity means that nothing around you is actually serving you or facilitating you. The whole material scene can be completely not pleasing, totally non-pleasing in every possible way. And that's all right. You see, an austere person doesn't require any external stimulus for his happiness. All he needs to do is be loyal to the order received from his spiritual master. That's all. As Prabhupada said, he's willing to go to hell to preach. All he needs is the order received from his spiritual master. Nothing else is required. He's happy just by that one thing. He can be in the most austere situation. It doesn't matter. He's happy. In fact, Prabhupada said, preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than mangoes. You see, in Russia, the winters are very, very hellish, horribly hellish winters. But if one is preaching, even in the hellish, hellish winter of Russia, that preaching is so sweet, it's sweeter than mango fruit. So it's a very important thing to learn how to relish austerity. If we can relish austerity, then we can have the sweetest flavored every minute, 24 hours a day. We can be relishing delicious Krishna consciousness at every minute. We can learn how to be austere like Maharaj Yudhisthira is being austere here. It doesn't mean artificially austere. So many austerities will come anyway. You don't have to artificially be austere. Whatever austerities are coming by natural arrangement, then one should not be disturbed by them. One should learn to be happy even in such conditions. Kunti Devi is praying for reverse conditions. She was finding them more conducive. So that's one aspect of despair. Another aspect is that such persons as Yudhisthira, they are qualified leaders. In fact, Prabhupada explains, they can rule the world. They're qualified to lead the whole world. And Prabhupada explains this in his purport in the chapter about Maharaj Prithu. He was saying that as someone who is qualified to free the citizens from the threefold miseries, that person can aspire to rule the whole world. Of course, that's not really any one of us. Prabhupada said that. He said about the GBC, he said, together you make me up. There's not that any one of you can constitute me, but together you make me up. So collectively, you see, as the Krishna consciousness movement, if we can develop this spirit of Maharaj Yudhisthira, then we as a society, as a movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, can actually become qualified to lead the entire world out of chaos. And that is actually our mission given by Prabhupada. As I've many times explained, it's not that we're simply meant to be comfortable and happy in our temple. We are meant to push forward and transform the entire world into a temple. That everywhere people will be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We are very fortunate. We have the most powerful acharya in the history of the world, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to guide us. We have the most potent, the most powerful guidance from Srila Prabhupada. He has so kindly put everything in His books for us. Everything is in Prabhupada's books. If we simply study these books, follow them sincerely, then we will become empowered to lead the world, actually. We will become empowered to lead the world out of chaos. As we've been explaining, this is the leading educational institution in the world. Sometimes we see, it's not bad, but ISKCON is getting affiliated with different mundane institutions, so you can actually get college in Europe. They're doing this. You can get college credit by studying at the institute we have in Radadesh. They're affiliating with a mundane university, and that's a good thing. Nothing wrong. But ultimately should be the other way around. Now they were thinking, well, we got to get affiliated with the university here, so people recognize that we're legitimate. Actually, should be the other way around. That Yale University, Oxford University, Harvard, and all the universities, ultimately it should become, and they have to be recognized by ISKCON to be understood as legitimate. In other words, they have to, eventually these universities should be presenting Krishna consciousness philosophy as a core curriculum. I attended one college in Texas, my freshman and sophomore years. And they had an idea of a course. They had somewhat of a good idea, although it was imperfect. They wanted to have a course that would cover the whole gamut of Western civilization, from every interdepartmental course that every student would take. There'd be a variety of professors from this department and that department on all aspects of Western civilization. So actually the university should present some sort of every university should have initiated devotees on the staff of the university, and there should be some course that's required for every student in the university where they get a complete picture of Vedic culture from many different angles. They can understand the Vedic culture historically, philosophically, culturally. They can understand the practical application of the Vedic teachings. Actually, this should be a core training done by ISKCON devotees at every single university in the world. There should be such a core curriculum. It goes along with their other studies, in mathematics or computer science, biology or whatever it may be. This needs to be introduced. But now, just like we have seen in our preaching center in Austin, Texas, we have the largest university in the United States there in our town, University of Texas. And you can't introduce any. You can't talk about God in the university. It's illegal. In fact, I one semester I thought I would try taking a couple of courses. I studied Sanskrit for a semester, and I also signed up for Hinduism. I dropped out of that Hinduism course after the professor talked about the God myth. Just like the Santa Claus myth, the God myth. It wasn't even a discussion if God existed or not. It was already decided that God was a myth, and there was some sociological phenomenon that, appears in less intelligent cultures of the world called the God myth. There's a Santa Claus myth, the God myth. So I immediately dropped out of that course. Forget this. So they can deny the existence of God. No problem. They try to promote God consciousness, they will lose their position and be fired. And they call this intellectual freedom. In other words, they claim, well, we don't want any religious doctrine because that's some kind of a bias. We don't want any, but they also, they have a bias against God. They consider that that's intellectualism, to deny God. But they don't deny God intelligently. They deny God dogmatically. You see. They don't deal with any reasonable argument. It's just automatically accepted. You know, God is a myth. And if you don't subscribe to their religion that God is a myth, then you're considered a fanatic. That they're actually open-minded intellectuals, and they're willing to open-mindedly consider whether God exists or not. But they aren't willing to consider that. They have this blind, dogmatic fanaticism that God does not exist. And in our Sanskrit course, I also heard some horrible blasphemy that, you know, all these descriptions in the Vedas, it's mythology. You know, it has to be, it's obviously mythology, you know. If some, we read something like Krishna had 16,000 queens, I mean, everyone knows that has to be mythology, right? I mean, that was the attitude. I mean, everyone knows. 16,000 wives, yeah, right, it must be a myth. See, it's just automatically assumed without any intelligent analysis that it's mythological. So I detected this dogmatic, anti-intellectual attitude in their so-called intellectualism. Of course, I finished that Sanskrit course and I terminated my academic career, realizing that they were training me how to become narrow-minded. But actually, it's very good if we have Krishna-conscious professors in the university system who actually realize that we don't want our professors to leave. In fact, when I joined the movement, we had an art professor in Austin join the temple. Prabhupada was very, very happy that a college professor was becoming an initiated disciple. He encouraged him to remain in that position. Because actually we want that qualified Krishna conscious men should be in university position. This is a very important thing for establishing Krishna conscious movement throughout the world. Very, very important thing. Because gradually, within the intellectual community, you know, the Vaishnava philosophy can be understood. This is not dogma, you see. This is not dogmatic. We're actually realizing, as the Bhagavatam says, bhakti pareshanu bhavo bharaktir. There's actually direct perception. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one has direct perception of Krishna. Not blind faith. One actually has direct perception of Krishna as one advances in Krishna consciousness. An advanced transcendentalist can actually directly perceive Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So it's not blind faith when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness. So we need such realized Krishna-conscious persons within the educational system. Because they can influence them so many people throughout the world. What they do now in the schools is deplorable. They can advocate so much nonsense with no problem, just like one of our devotees who graduated a few years ago from the University of Texas, he told me one of his professors was telling the students, he was saying, yes, it's very good to be bisexual, you know, you can have your same sex partners and your opposite sex partners. He was encouraging illicit sex not only illicit sex with the opposite sex, but he was also encouraging illicit sex with the same sex. This is in the classroom. When he's being paid by the government to teach the students, he's advocating same-sex illicit activities and opposite-sex illicit activities. But if someone is saying God is real and you should learn how to love God, fired. This they call education. Because there's a great need for enlightened leadership in all aspects of the society. And the government is like Maharaj Yudhisthira. You see, we should have an enlightened prime minister here. We don't care if he's an Indian or a Fijian or Chinese or whatever. The body doesn't matter. We simply want there to be an enlightened prime minister who's Krishna conscious, that's all, in this country. In the government, in the educational, in the business fact, in the business sector, in all aspects of the society, the leading person should be Krishna conscious. This is why we have to distribute Prabhupada's books. This is why we have to be actively preaching in all sectors of the society. Krishna consciousness is not a Hindu religion. As we've said many, many times, Krishna, we don't pray Hindu Natha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. It is Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. The whole universe, Jagannatha Swami. That was the very first word I heard from Prabhupada's mouth, Jagannatha. We had, I got the opportunity to see him first at the San Francisco airport, but I did not hear him speak anything. But then we got there, but Prabhupada's ride was late picking him up at the airport. He was so transcendental, he simply stood there peacefully on the sidewalk by the terminal, just stood there peacefully and waited for the car. But so a number of us, we took the opportunity to get to the Golden Gate Park before he arrived there so we could greet him again at the park. And he got up on Subhadra's car to give one lecture at the beginning of the Ratri Yatra. The very first thing he says, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami Bhavata. It wasn't Hindu enough. So in this way, we have to develop this spirit of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Each and every one of us have to learn from this detached, materially uninterested attitude of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and this way become leaders in whatever sector of life we may be. You see? Whatever type of body we have or whatever type of karma we have, we should become a leader in that area, you see. It's like you have a Fijian body, you see. You should be a leader. You should be recognized as a leader amongst all the Fijian people, you see. By your purity, you should follow the example of Maharaj Yudhisthira. You're in the university, professor there. You should, by your qualities, by developing Vaishnava qualities, Vaishnava behavior, you see, you can gain the respect of everyone in the university more and more. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, he said, if you simply behave as nice Vaishnavas, then everyone will respect you. And just by respecting you, they will make advancement. So whatever sphere of activity you are in, you must become a leader by following this example of Yudhisthira Maharaj. We are meant to train up a class of leaders who can lead the whole world out of chaos. That is our Krishna consciousness movement. So, we have exhausted the time. If anyone has questions, you can meet with me one-on-one. I'm available. I'm leaving in a few days. So, if you have anyone wants to meet with me personally, has questions, or would like some guidance, I'm willing to help you in any way I possibly can. I'm room number 12 over here, just knock on the door. I'm available all the time, except at, you know, between 9 in the evening and 3 in the morning. During the day, I'm always available. If you want to meet with me. So we thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Ki Prabhupada, Ki Jai.